We all want to do this or what?
Yeah, we're going to do this or what? And life is good today, at least for me. Man, some people have been having a rough time. Oh, let's see. Why? Not sure. I'm missing something here. Oh, well, as long as you can hear me, I guess we're doing fine. All right. Life is good today. Merry Christmas to those of you who celebrate Christmas, and Happy New Day to you that don't. It is snowing like crazy here, which is kind of unusual for this part of Oregon. And it started last night about, about 6:30, 7-ish, something like that. And it has just been getting after it. I mean, I don't know how many times today I have said wow, because not only like the number of snowflakes, but the size of the flakes are gigantic at times. So, I don't know, crazy, but it's all good. It's all good. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. My wife, who's from Wisconsin, of course, she's in the other room watching the Packer game. I'm watching it, but not listening, and I probably will miss a few scores. That's okay. Rather kind of be here doing the show. So that's what we're doing. I have some fun stuff today, I hope, anyway, some positive stuff. And, that's one thing that kind of blew me away this week. I don't know why it hit me this week, but, you know, I started looking at how divided we are. And I know some people in the chat room have mentioned this before. And I just think it's so crazy. No matter where you go, no matter what kind of chat room you're in, kind of no matter what kind of media you're taking in, there's so much division. And I just think to myself, man, I have a little audio I'm going to play today, and this guy kind of puts it together also, which is really nice. And I forget who to give credit for this clip. I think it was Kate. But what a great little snippet this is going to be. It's about 10 minutes, so I get to kick back and drink something and relax and listen in while you guys are listening. It should be good, I think, hope. If not, oh well. But my point is, man, even amongst like the dissenters, we have dissension. And, you know, we have some great people in Real Liberty Media in the chat room, we have some really great people doing shows and passing information. And even amongst us, we have these kind of divisions that kind of blows me away. It's like, this is kind of my take now, is I don't care what you're doing, like however you're handling this stupid plandemic thing. Whatever you're doing, good on you, man. I'm glad you're doing something. I kind of feel like doing this show is my something. It's part of my something. I have some other things I'm trying to get going too, but, you know, a little bit of limited time and kind of getting organized. Those things will get going soon enough. But, the day we all kind of start heading in the same direction, no matter what we're doing, as long as we're going in the right direction, I think things are going to be good. I don't know that we're ever really going to come out of this thing. I kind of have my doubts that we may not get out of it without some violence, I think, honestly. Because I had to turn the sound off on my phone just in case it went off, because a lot of people are sending me messages today, people that I don't normally hear from except once a year. So I had to turn all that sound off because I don't want any sound coming out that, you know, I don't want to come out. Anyway, Yeah, I hope we all kind of just are doing something, working in the same direction. I think I was saying, I don't think that we necessarily are going to get out of this without some kind of violence. But, I mean, I hope it doesn't come to that. But I was reading this interesting story. I always think of Rob Works in chat when I see these stories, because he is so kind of on the PSYOP stuff. So let me, oh, I should say this too. Had my other cataract surgery done this week. Actually, let me say this first. Any thoughts and prayers or positive vibes that you want to send to Vinny, he could sure use them right now. I'm pretty sure everybody in the chat knows what's going on, but Vinny's been under a lot of kind of stress lately, which I don't know if that had much to do with it, but he's undergoing some kind of medical treatment that's pretty serious, and I hope to heck he's going to be all right. And so if you're thinking of him, send him some well wishes, you know, virtually, if not any other way. Just keep him in your thoughts and prayers and positive vibes. That'd be awesome. On my personal thing, I had my other cataract surgery done. How crazy it is to be able to see, like to read. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, probably others have had cataract surgery. It's not that big a deal. It's like 20 minutes. It's crazy how fast they take a cataract out and put an intraocular lens in. And then you have like a day wearing a patch, and then, you know, I don't know. I have to put these drops in until January 1st. And, but I mean, the day after surgery, they take that patch off and they test your vision and you're good. I mean, it's not like perfect, but it's amazing how good it is. I can read most things that there's no way I could have read them before. And now I can, like, I could even read my phone, which I don't have any extra large fonts on or anything. It's just whatever it was set to when I got it. And I can kind of bring it closer to my face and actually read it, which is just amazing. You know, it's like, God, this is crazy how they do this. But I guess, you know, you have to wait till your vision gets, like, so bad before they actually do the surgery. Well, I suppose unless you're paying cash, then you can probably just walk in and get it done. Oh, I wanted to kind of talk about this, too. I was going to talk about dentistry just a little bit. Oh, picked off again. Sorry, Browns. Too bad. Oh, sorry, I was watching. what was I going to say? God dang it. Stop watching the game. Oh, Rob, thanks. I haven't really driven at night yet. But I'll tell you this. I had to put sunglasses on, which I haven't actually worn sunglasses in a long time. But there was so much light coming in my eyes. It was almost painful because even though it was cloudy, you know, the sun creates a lot of light, and having those cataracts removed, which actually reduces the amount of light comes into your eyes, I know it's going to be a little bit of adjustment period, but I was just shocked at how much light was coming into my eyes. Like, oh my God, I got to get some sunglasses from somewhere and put them on. Now I have, you know, the, I don't know, gradient or whatever you call it in your glasses that changes your glasses dark when you go outside. But here's the problem. I don't really need my glasses. And it kind of like screws up your vision because like my glasses have correction in them. And then if I put them on, I already am corrected. So then, you know, I have to adjust everything and it's just better to not even have them on. So, oh, I know. I was looking for this story. Where did I? Let me think for a minute. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Damn it. Should have been. I wasn't going to do this story till later. That's why it's not like on the top of the stack. But Oh, here it is. Okay, the PSYOP and Rob Works. Thank you, Rob Works. Actually, thank you, Rob Works, for kind of constantly pointing out that we're being screwed with. yeah, I have a ton of snow, and it just keeps going. I'm not kidding. It's just snowing like crazy right this very minute. But anyway, so here, this was an interesting story because you'll understand why in a minute. And this story is the Democrats' dismal outlook for 2022 midterm elections continues to worsen. But I kind of retitled this as "This Will Make It All Better, Don't Be Fooled." So I'm going to read a little bit of this, especially some of the things that, you know, they're pointing out. So for a party with a majority that depends upon a mere handful of votes, losing 23 House veterans is a crushing blow, but more such announcements are expected as filing deadlines approach for the 2022 midterm congressional elections. And it lists a number of Democrats who aren't going to run. I don't understand why. It's going to be a slaughter. But the point is, let's just look through some of the stuff. Some of the stuff that they're pointing out. It says, which shows majorities disapproving of President Joe Biden's performance and holding congressional Democrats responsible for the nation's growing list of serious problems. Similarly, 65% agreed when asked if they agree that "I thought things in the country were going to change for the better with Joe Biden's election, but it's just been more of the same. The country is still divided. The coronavirus pandemic is still growing. And now on top of that, inflation is at a 30-year high and gasoline prices are soaring." 31% disagreed. So that's a small number of people that disagreed. On issue after issue, respondents expressed disagreement and dissatisfaction with the direction the country is heading, with Democrats in control of the White House and both the Senate and House of Representatives. Democrats are blamed for rising inflation, 48% to 31%. Democrats are blamed for the surge in illegal immigration by a 33-point margin, 55 to 22%. Democrats are blamed for the nationwide crime surge, 48% to 27%. Democrats are blamed for the hiring shortages plaguing businesses, 41% to 31%. Other results are just as discouraging for Democrats. Asked, "Generally speaking, would you prefer that the Democratic control or Republican control of U.S. House of Representatives?" 46% of the respondents said they prefer GOP control, while 43% chose Democratic control. So that's a small margin. Asked how concerned they are with the violent crime surge, 58% said they are very concerned, and 31% said they are somewhat concerned. So there's like 89%. 62% said they oppose defunding the police. Perhaps even more disturbing for Democrats is that 69% of the respondents agree that Joe Biden and the Democrats are soft on crime. But here's the real story here. This, like, for all those people who are like rubbing their hands together, like just waiting for the midterm elections, thinking we are going to take over the White House, the Republicans are going to slaughter the Democrats, which very well could be. Guess what? We started this entire plandemic under Republicans. Nothing's going to change. I mean, I think a lot less stuff will get done. I saw that Joe Manchin is pulling out of the Biden plan to, you know, economically ruin the country some more. So he's kind of holding out, so Biden's not going to get what he wants, supposedly. It's kind of crazy that just one single person can stop that, but I'm glad at least somebody is there to stop it. That's my bottom line. So for those people who are still voting, and they're going to read this because this is, I guess it's not big news. I'm sure the mainstream media isn't reporting like how horrible Biden is doing. Of course they're not. But nothing's going to change. I mean, nothing big is going to change. Maybe at best, nothing happens, I mean, that's always my goal. I always hope that it's such a balance that nothing gets done, honestly. I did a show months ago about, how many new rules and regulations are created by every single, session of Congress, and it's just ridiculous. Like, if you think you live in a free society in the United States of America, I dare you to go look at all the rules and regulations that they create every single session. And by adding rules, you are by definition taking away freedoms. I always hope that we always like the elections are so evenly split that nothing gets done. But that isn't always the case. Oh, and so while I'm on that subject, you should check out the COVID map. Like, I'll post a link. The link will be in my show notes. But remember when Biden said that he was going to shut down the virus, not shut down the country? And of course, here we are almost a year in. And that's kind of one reason I went to look at that graph again. It's like, okay, you've had the reins for a year. Fauci's done the same stuff that he's done time and time again. Did we make any progress? If you go and look at the COVID map, the big map that everybody used in all their media displays, you'll see that maybe the slope has changed. I don't think you would actually say that we've flattened the curve at all, although I could make an argument for flattening the curve a little bit. But what you'll actually see is giant peaks and giant valleys because we have a leaky vaccine, one that doesn't do what a vaccine should do. So by doing that, I wonder if my wife screaming in the other room actually came to the through on the show. I'll listen to the recording and see if, when I'm all done. But that was pretty funny. I hear her screaming in there because, of course, Packers scored again. Anyway, if you look at that graph, you're going to see big peaks and big valleys. It's kind of like, okay, Delta variant, giant explosion in cases, and then that comes, sliding back down. It looks like it's going to be under control, and then boom, Omicron shows up, and there's a giant peak, and then back down, and then boom, another variant shows up, and it's just like, it reminds me of insanity. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I mean, that is a graph that shows clearly that what the federal government is doing, what the local governments, the tyrants in charge right now are doing, is insane. It's insane. Fauci, some emails were released this or were rediscovered. I don't know. I think I'd kind of seen this before, but I saw it this week and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So this guy Collins, who was apparently is a director of the NIH or something, but he and Fauci were having this discussion. I want to read this to you. It was really interesting. So Collins told Fauci this proposal from the free fringe epidemiologists seems to be getting a lot of attention, adding that there needs to be a quick and devastating published takedown of its premises. I don't see anything like that online yet. Is it underway? Collins' directive to silence American scientists serves as a chilling reminder of the extent and intensity with which First Amendment rights have been undermined in the pandemic era. And these guys were, these fringe epidemiologists, just by the way, were from like Harvard and Yale and, I don't know, MIT. I mean, just name three giant Ivy League colleges. That's who these fringe epidemiologists are that they're talking about. And it says, Fauci appears to have been in full agreement with Collins' proposal to take down the authors and their declaration, sending a one-line reply. I am pasting in below a piece from the Wired that debunks this theory. The article was essentially an op-ed castigating the declaration, but lacking any fundamental scientific rebuttal. In other words, some dude just wrote for Wired magazine, and Fauci uses this as his defense to take down these three fringe epidemiologists from Yale, Harvard, and I forget the other school. I said MIT, but I really couldn't. I don't know who it was. Maybe it's in here somewhere. Nope, it's not. Fauci's chief of staff, Greg Folkers, gave Fauci additional political op-eds from various sources that relayed the same anti-Great Barrington Declaration talking points, but again lacked any scientific basis or fact. Within a day of Collins' email, Google started to censor search results for Great Barrington Declaration. And that's how we use scientism to delete facts, to, you know, remove healthy conversations, you know, to take away the chance to have some kind of debate. And op-eds, I'm doing an op-ed right now, basically. You know, it's like anybody, of course, I don't have the, you know, reputation or clout that these people at Wired have, or whatever other, you know, op-eds they picked from. You know, definitely don't have the listenership or audience that those magazines do. But, you know, that's what Fauci used to debunk them and to get Google on their side, on his side, to start censoring conversation. So, it's not good times, that's for sure. It's not a good time when you can't have it's not good when you can't debate things. It's not good when you can't question authority. And I actually had some conversation with somebody this week in chat, or I don't know, maybe somewhere else. Oh, I actually had this conversation twice, and I was like, what happened to the 60s hippies? I was a little late. I was born in 57. So I kind of lived through that era, but I didn't actually participate in that era. And you know, that what I remember about that was question authority. Like, question everything. Don't let anything be just hand like spoon-fed to you. Question where it's coming from. Question where the source material is. We don't do that. And those 60s hippies are all grown up now. And I think to myself, what happened to you? Like, what? I know that most of you are still alive. Like, you were 20 then. What are you, 70 now? 75? Most of them are kind of in that range. What the hell happened? And why aren't you questioning authority now? Why? I guess maybe maybe that what's happened is like they didn't maybe keep up with technology, because you always hear now about, you know, people talk about, well, you know, older people, they don't, you know, they don't have cell phones, they don't do this, that, or the other thing, you know. I have a kind of a hard time believing that, especially for those people who were, you know, the 60s people, the hippies who were, you know, out, you know, smoking pot, questioning authority, demanding an end to the war, kind of asking about what the heck was going on in Vietnam and other parts of the world. They didn't forget that. And I'm pretty sure they probably like technology. I don't know. Dang it. I wish I had more of them as friends right now. Be interesting to see what their take is on this. I'm going to play that audio right now and wet my whistle. And I hope you guys enjoy this. I'll put a link. The link will be in the show notes. It's a YouTube video from Infinite Waters. Enjoy. Anyway, I really enjoyed that. 10 minutes. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Start it over. Anyway, I really enjoyed that. The video also that goes along with it. Some pretty interesting, I don't know, painting that is going on, like watercolor, whiteboard, something. I don't know. Pretty creative. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. Yeah, okay, so I want to talk about, I wanted to talk about the oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to say it. The politicization of medicine. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because now we have some new drugs that are supposedly available to treat COVID. There's some really interesting things about these new drugs. Especially when we have ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And I hope you caught the recipe, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago on how to make chloroquine. And ivermectin, somebody in our chat has a link to somewhere where you can buy it. And I have that link somewhere, but I don't have it here. Anyway, when it comes to the treatment of COVID-19, many Western nations have been hobbled by the politicization of medicine. Throughout 2020, media and many public health experts warned against the use of hydroxychloroquine, despite the fact that many practicing doctors were praising its ability to save patients. Many of them were silenced through online censorship. Some even lost their jobs for the sin of publicly sharing their success with the drug, which is really, God, it's just so damn crazy. Like, why in a, let's say it was a pandemic and it was really, I mean, obviously people have died. And if you could save those people with something that we already have, why would you stand in the way of that? And I mean, there's doctors who lost their licenses who are unable to practice medicine because they did this. And it actually is a very successful treatment regimen. But now we have some new things on the market. Let's see what we have. We already know that every drug the FDA has approved so far for inpatient treatment has an FDA black box warning for serious adverse events. At present, the only approved drugs in patients are remdesivir, baricitinib, and tofacitinib. None of them have demonstrated any efficacy over a year of their use. Remdesivir is also known to cause liver toxicity and renal failure. Baricitinib, brand name Olumiant, has an FDA black box warning for blood clots, of all things. Tofacitinib, brand name Zeljanks has a black box warning for serious infections and malignancy. Now let me introduce you to the first candidates for outpatient treatment. Merck's Molnupiravir, brand name Lagevrio, Pfizer's Paxlovid. This person already has written on one of the drugs. Even FDA advisory committee admitted that the drug poses a risk of birth defects, is mutagenic, and has dangerous mechanisms of action, and was never studied for carcinogenicity. And its second phase trial showed greater efficacy in the placebo group than the trial group. I mean, you couldn't write this kind of comedy. Like, you would really have to have a tremendous imagination to then go ahead and approve this drug for use to treat COVID. But that's what the FDA did. Even the mainstream media has warned that the drug really is not up to snuff, yet shockingly, the FDA is set to give it its approval. As if basic safety and efficacy facts no longer matter, which obviously they don't. The move itself is in conjunction with what we know about approved inpatient drugs. It should tell you everything you need to know about the juxtaposition of the vaccine approval to the war on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and a refusal to approve or encourage the use of numerous other safe and effective drugs. They kind of go into a discussion of what, I'll go ahead and read it. Unlike Merck's drug, which has a known dangerous mechanism of action as a nucleotide analog, Paxlovid is more of a defensive drug as a 3CL protease inhibitor. Dr. Ryan Cole, a clinical and anatomic pathologist who has studied the replication process of SARS-CoV-2 and its treatments in more depth than almost anyone on the planet, explains the mechanism as follows, and blah, blah, blah. So now we are championing this mode of action, this very dangerous mode of action. Why wouldn't we exalt the cheaper, more established medicine that is also an anticoagulant and anti-inflammatory and that has shown the ability to turn around even some patients on ventilators? At best, Paxlovid would likely only work during the first 3 days of onset of symptoms, which is how the trial was conducted. Sounds terrific, right? Here's the problem. Do you know what else is also the most effective protease inhibitor on the market? Ivermectin. And it also has at least 19 other mechanisms of action, which include anticoagulant, it inhibits CD147 receptor binding, and anti-inflammatory, decreases IL-6 and other inflammatory cytokines. Modes of action. Paxlovid has none of these mechanisms. So why would we rely on an expensive drug with one of ivermectin's 20 mechanisms of actions? Yes, 20. Does that not have an established safety profile? When we can use the off-patent drug with the safest profile imaginable and mechanisms that work even in the advanced stages. The bottom line here is, so they created a new drug, and new drugs cost more money. So somebody's going to be making money off of all this, and who's it going to be? I can bet you that it's a bunch of members of Congress. Anyway, it's so crazy that politics dictates medicine instead of actually science dictating medicine and actual data leading to, you know, effective treatments of medicine. If we wanted to end this pandemic, we could have done it. Actually, and I have kind of a theory that right now is a perfect time to end this pandemic. My idea is Omicron variant parties because think about it. natural immunity lasts a year at least. And if it doesn't make you very sick, which Omicron mostly doesn't make people very sick, seems to me be a good time to go out and get infected and get some natural immunity going and bring this whole thing to a stop. But of course, that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, in some of the bigger cities, mayors or some states, governors have increased the restrictions on freedom again, which it's like the exact opposite of the thing you should do. It's like now's the time to strike. You got a variant of whatever this thing is, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. You have a variant that's not very deadly. Not that COVID was very deadly, but yeah, a lot of people died. I mean, now's the time to go out and get infected. You know, now's the time for everybody to get that herd immunity that they've been talking about, because obviously all of the vaxes aren't doing the job. Of course they're not doing the job because they're not very well studied. They weren't very well developed. They never were intended to actually do what they should have done, and that is prevent you from getting disease, prevent you from spreading the disease, you know, prevent you from becoming sick from the disease. It's done none of that. As a matter of fact, going back to page one here. I moved it way back. Well, I can tell you this. Did I really not push that forward? Of course not, because I already knew I had like 6 pages of stuff and it wasn't all going to make it. Okay, so I'll just tell you from memory. Actually, and this is pretty easy to do. If you're a football fan right now, what happened this very week? This very last 7 days, 2 football games, which is 4 different teams, had to be rescheduled because even though the entire NFL and not only the players but the staff and people surrounding, you know, the staff, everybody was vaxxed. Guess what? They got COVID. They had multiple players who got COVID. Players who were forced. I know that there's some that didn't take the jab. I know that. But a lot of players were, you know, forced to take this vaccine so that they can continue their career, so that they could play, entertain us, and yet they have this huge outbreak of COVID through 4 different teams. Maybe it was only 2 of the teams, but anyway, they all games had to be rescheduled because, you know, totally vaccinated, totally boosted players got COVID. There was a cruise ship. The only way you could get on the cruise ship was to be totally vaccinated, have current boosters. That ship had a COVID outbreak. This is what happens when the government takes over medical care. And I could tell you some stories about government medical care because I did it. I did it. I know what it's like. You know, the saddest thing is, I was actually going to talk about this sometime. Go, Pack, go. I was going to maybe save this for another, yet another independent study confirms over 150,000 Americans killed by the COVID vaccines. Yeah, so not only does it not do what it's supposed to do, but it actually kills a lot of people. That's fantastic. Of course, it's nothing new to Dr. Fauci, who basically kills people kind of, I don't even know what his deal is, but he just hides the fact that his crap kills people to make it look like he's some kind of a success. And all you have to do is just go back and listen to one of my previous shows where I actually basically called him a murderer. and you can get those some of those details there. But I wanted to tell you guys this. I'm a dentist. And what surprises me about dentistry is, number one, that we're even still around, that we have this ability to make really good money providing dental care. And I like to think that I'm really good at it. I'm probably not. I'm probably average. I don't know. But I always like to provide the best care that my patient wants. But here's what's really sad. 6 minutes a day, I kid you not, 6 minutes a day would prevent you from needing most dental care. Yeah, some stuff is going to happen like hell. I cracked a tooth that I babied for 10 years, and I ended up having to have it taken out. But most of the people that I see, I mean, let me just say this. If you come to the dentist, and like the first thing you say to your dentist is, I didn't have time to brush my teeth, you got a problem. If you didn't have the 2 minutes it took to brush your teeth before you saw me, you got a problem. If you don't have the 6 minutes a day it takes to brush your teeth to prevent dental disease, you have a problem. And don't tell me that you got it from your parents, that you have soft enamel, because I already know how many people in the general population actually have a genetic condition that causes soft enamel or thin enamel. And guess what? You don't have it. You might have something. You got your bacteria that's in your mouth from your parents, but you don't have the few rare diseases that actually interfere with dental stuff. And when you show up, and you know, I look at your teeth, I can tell what kind of home care you have. Even if you did brush before you came and saw me, I know what you're, I can see clearly what you have, that is true, Rob Works, that's one for sure. But I can tell, your dentist can tell, you know, there's no sense in going in and trying to lie about what your health, home care is like, because they already know. They can tell just by looking. I want to tell you, I only have a few minutes left. I'm working, one of my patients right now is a fairly young woman. She's 33. We actually, at one point, she was actually just going to have all 28 teeth removed. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about her. One is, she's really cute. Like, she's cute in a way that is like, so she does these, what do you call it? Is it like cosplay when you dress up like characters from, you know, I don't know, video games or movies or whatever. Anyway, she kind of does that, and she's kind of just got that cute little aura that, you know, she could really pull it off. But her teeth were horrible, like horrible teeth, to the point where we were actually talking about whether or not she should keep them or not. And we actually had to take, a few out. I don't know, three or four or something. Not too many. But then she really expressed to me that she wanted to do something different and she didn't want to lose her teeth. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Let's do this. But this is going to be long appointments in my chair. It's not going to be comfortable. I mean, I can keep you out of pain when you're in the chair, but once you leave, guess what? It's not going to be fun. You're going to have some pain for, I don't know, days, maybe a week or so, until your teeth kind of settle down. But we've been doing it. And she's really improved, like, her home care, which is awesome. But good grief, man. And I'm telling you, sometimes especially at this point in my career. What do I have? Maybe a year left, maybe a few. I don't know. I may stick around for a few years, but it won't be at 4 days a week, I can tell you that. I see these 20-year-olds. Now think about this. Let's say you're 25. So you get 6-year molars. You get like premolars and canines between the age of 10, 11 to 12, 13. 10 to 13, let's say. Then you get your 12-year molars, and you get your, well, you don't really get 18-year molars, your wisdom teeth or molars, because usually they don't come in. And usually they're not functional, useful anyway. But so just think. So you've basically had your teeth for 12 years by the time you're 25. My point is, so teeth that were supposed to last you until you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you destroyed in 10 years. It's amazing to me, and it's kind of heartbreaking to me to see that, you know, kind of on a weekly basis where I live. And yeah, there's a lot of things that go into that besides just poor oral hygiene. But guess what? Time is up. Hey, I know that a lot of us are missing Grimner. He passed this week. I hope, you know, his travels are safe. I was really, it kind of hurt my heart that Grimner suffered, but he's not suffering now. And yeah, we miss him a lot. Anyway, that's it for today's show. Hopefully you guys catch Hal Anthony tomorrow. And I'll probably, it kind of looks like I'm going to be doing more shows. I really think I always end up with so much stuff that I didn't cover that I think I'm going to add at least one more show a week. I don't know when, but we'll do it sometime. Anyway, thank you for joining me on Christmas. And thanks for joining me today. I will see you all whenever. Thanks.